Oak session number 14281, Reel 2.
Mr. McAllister, Reel 2. What impression did the 8th Army make on you?
Well, I think I was inclined to think of them as most the 1st Army. They had quite a lot of bull. But they were doing a jolly good job. They were moving much faster than we were.
Was there any rivalry between the 8th Army and the 1st Army?
Well, I don't know about the 8th Army and 1st Army. I would say between the 46th Division and the 78th Division in Cairo. There was a lot of friction there when we were on holiday, on leave. We happened to be there at the same time. 46th Division being the oak tree, 78th Division being the battle axe, black mounted on yellow. And we couldn't seem to hit it off in Cairo. There was quite a lot of trouble in the drinking bars. I suppose to a certain extent it was carried on between 1st and 8th Army, but not to the same extent.
Did the 78th Div belong to the 1st Army or the 8th Army?
Which one?
The 78th Div. Did they belong
eighth?
To... The 78th Division, did they belong to the 8th Army or...
8th Army.
Was there any violence between men of the two divisions?
Oh, fighting, yes.
Did you get involved in it?
No.
Did you see any of it?
Oh, I saw some. On one occasion I had to go to the police station. The Red Caps offices. I was a warrant officer too then, Sergeant Major. And I had to go down to the offices of the military police and bail out a Sergeant Major. I had to sign for him. I don't remember much of the fighting or the scrap because he was under custody.
Did the 1st 4th Hants go right through Tunisia, right to the German surrender?
Yes, right, right through to Austria.
But you appear to have been promoted to WO2 whilst you were in North Africa.
Yes.
Did you keep the same job as CQMS?
No. No, CQMS, if he gets promoted to Sergeant Major, goes to the other side, the discipline side. He's responsible for the drill and organisation of the company. The CQMS is responsible for the feeding of the men. Always concerned with the food side and the equipment.
What was discipline in your battalion like whilst you were WO2?
Pretty good. We were very good at football. I think that makes a lot of difference.
Did you have any men in your battalion at that time disabled because of venereal disease?
Yeah.
Would they have been punished if they had become infected?
I think they would have been. I think they would have been punished at the hospital. On one occasion, I inadvertently got placed in a VD ward in an officer's hospital. It was a shock of my life. I was involved in an accident in North Italy, and the jeep we were in went over a bridge into the river, and I broke my wrist. There were four officers in the jeep. As a result of that crash, I was taken out by ambulance back to Caserta in southern Italy. And at that time, I was a second lieutenant, platoon commander. And I wasn't wearing any badge of rank at all. And I went through the usual hospital routine. I got to this particular ward, and the beds weren't made. It was a pretty awful shambles. And the medical attendant said, "Are you sure you've got a broken wrist, sir?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, they place you in the VD ward." They soon put it right, checking my papers. And I was put back into the correct spot. So I think they had means of punishing people who were bold enough to come in. At that time, there were quite a lot of casualties coming in, and beds were required. So any man appearing with VD was looked upon very unfavourably. I didn't come across it in my own unit at all. It was just on this one occasion in the military hospital.
Were you present when the Germans surrendered in Tunisia?
I was on the victory parade. I wasn't really at the surrender. It was some while after when I did the victory parade.
Where was that?
In Tunis.
Were there any VIPs present for that?
Yes, Montgomery was there. I think I think Helen Brooke was there. I'm not sure.
Did you take part in the Sicily landings in July 43?
Salerno. Yes, I did the Salerno landing.
Can you take me through what you remember about the Salerno landings, please?
It's something we've been training for quite a long while. In North Africa, HR was 3 o'clock on the 9th of September. We'd studied aerial photos of the place we were going to land in. We duly set off at 3 o'clock. I remember the naval commander, the American, announcing at 3:00 hours that the time has come, and we got down onto the sea in the small boats, 5 boats to a main ship. We circled and circled, and then the commander of the fleet announced that Green Beach going in now. Good luck and God bless you all. And then instead of going round and round, they suddenly straightened out. And these 15 LSCs headed straight for the shore. And it was pitch black. We landed in a vineyard where there are lots and lots of grapes. And behind was a big naval boat bombarding the Germans with shells as we went in. The first thing we had to do was to cross a river which absolutely soaked us. It was not a very deep river, but it was up waist high. And all was confusion for a long time then. It's difficult to know or to think back. As to what direction we went. We were certainly not in the direction that we intended to go. It went on for a long while, and then the 2IC, Monte Creswell, was blown up on a mine. He'd gone down to the water, and there was a pilot from a plane which had come down, landed on a minefield. And he was killed. And it altered things considerably. We seemed to just man the defences for a while in case of any infiltration around the back. But it was a pretty big shambles. My company commander was John Price, who was very upset at losing his 2IC so suddenly. And Monte Creswell was a very brilliant officer, a Sandhurst type of officer. So he'd rather pulled us up with a jerk.
Which was your company?
D.
What do you remember happening next?
after the landing. I can't think of the names, but it was very slow moving. Trying to make headway up to Naples.
Was there much fighting on the way from the beachhead towards Naples as far as your battalion was concerned?
Oh yes, it was quite a lot. It was quite a bit of fighting. But it wasn't as fast as we had anticipated. We expected to go to Naples, get to Naples very, very quickly. But the German defence was much too strong.
Were you wounded yourself at all in the Salerno beachhead?
I was wounded once on Mount Damiano, but it was a very slight a wound in the left wrist by a stick grenade.
Mount Damiano?
On Damiano, yes.
Is that in Salerno beachhead?
Oh, no.
That was later on?
That was later on, yes.
What did you think of the enemy resistance in Salerno?
Oh, pretty tough going. They had lots of P-42s. They were machine guns. They were pretty active.
What were your main tactics against those machine guns?
Just return fire, or use mortars if you had them.
Did you have mortars?
We had them, yes. Yes, we had 3-inch mortars, which we used.
Did they successfully take out the German machine gunners? Did they successfully destroy the German machine gunners?
In many cases, yes.
Were there Italian civilians about in the Salerno area when you were fighting?
Yes, there were. You didn't see a lot of them, but in some instances, you went into their houses.
Do you remember any incidents that happened to you in the Salerno beachhead?
A definite no.
What was the weather like?
Not too bad, really. It was a little bit on the mild side, but one kept going pretty well.
Were casualties to the battalion heavy at Salerno?
I suppose they were, but it didn't happen in my own company a lot, when I think back.
Did you ever have any anybody there trying to desert or avoid battle?
Oh, yes. I had one man in particular that I recollect who deserted. And I went to his court-martial. He came from the same town as me, from Andover.
Did you know him well?
Yes. He'd been in the battalion a long time, and he was a... What amazed me was the fact that he was thought to be a tough little customer. He was a boxer. On battalion sports day, he would be boxing for the company. And on this particular occasion, he was due to go into action and disappeared completely. One felt rather surprised that one so tough could have deserted. You expected a man like him to rather thrive on it. But I have seen him on one occasion in Andover many years ago. Needless to say, I didn't cross over the street to say hello to him.
So why do you think he did it?
Or just scared.
Could you sympathise with it or condemn it? Could you sympathise with it or condemn it?
No, I never could. I think they have a different view of it today. They don't condemn a man today if he deserts.
Where did he go to?
Where did he?
Go to?
Oh, he was in Italy.
But where did he desert to? In Italy?
I forget where we were at the time. But he was picked up pretty quickly by the Red Caps.
Did he desert in the Salerno area or later on?
Oh, later on.
What was the result of his court-martial?
4 years.
In an army prison?
Well, he would be sent back to prison.
Was that the only case of desertion you knew of, personally? Was that the only case of desertion you knew of, personally?
The only one I knew of. Well, I did know of one other, but I forget his name. He was not a boxer. He was a regimental footballer, another fine sportsman. But I really don't know the outcome of his desertion.
Did he desert in Italy as well?
Yes.
Where did he come from?
Somewhere in Kent.
Did you get soldiers who had what was called battle fatigue?
Did I know of people?
Yes.
Yes, I did. I remember my company commander once saying to me, this was in Italy, we were going in and coming out, going in again and coming out again. And he said to me, don't you ever feel that you can't come back again, Major? I was a sergeant major and he always called me a major. I said, no, if you give me, as long as I get a break out of action where I can smoke without covering my cigarette, I'll come back again. And he said to me, well, there'll come a time when I won't be able to come back. He said, I feel it in my bones. And he went out to a hospital for a period of time. And I visited him in this hospital. It was a tented hospital. And he came back again after his spell in the hospital.
Had he fully recovered?
Did he?
Had he fully recovered?
Oh, unfortunately, he's passed away now.
No, but had he fully recovered then?
Oh, yes. Oh, he took an active part again.
Was tobacco and smoking very important for you psychologically then?
Oh, yes. Very important indeed. I sometimes wonder what they would do now with troops who were wounded, because in those days the first thing you did with a man who was badly wounded was to put a cigarette in his mouth. It seems that he, given a cigarette, he would exist quite easily. And now it's a bad thing to give a man a cigarette at any time. Cigarettes and tobacco were most important. I suppose the most important thing in one's ration.
Would alcohol be used for troops going into battle?
Alcohol?
Yes.
Yes. There was the ration of beer and spirits.
Do you think it was a good thing to take before going into battle?
To have a drink?
To have a drink before going into battle?
Not really, no.
Why not?
Well, I think it puts a false picture on things, you know. Not that I remember much about drinking. I think most of it took place when you went out of action. With any beer available, it was there then.
What do you remember about the liberation of Naples?
Well, nothing at all, really. The actual